Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on Close Up Radio, which is a service of Close Up Television and Radio. And we thank you very much for making us a part of your day and a full day of extraordinary guests from around the world that we're celebrating, including our next guest, Kathy Coleman of Kathy Coleman Coaching and Training, based in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. Kathy is a highly sought-after career and executive coach, is all too familiar with how draining, tough, demanding, and rewarding the corporate world can be. After spending many years in the corporate world, 8 years ago, she decided to leave and follow her dreams to become a coach with a strong focus on leadership and personal development. Her objective and mission is to be a perspective changer. Everything you want is available when you adjust your perspective and receive tools that help get you there. That's why Kathy maintains a firm commitment in aligning her coaching with emotional fitness. The benefits are self-awareness, resilience, and confidence. And in this way, you can create cohesive teams where everyone feels heard and appreciated. Another strategy she uses is Strengths Finder, which is an evidence-based tool to help her clients understand their strengths and learn how to tap into their natural, innate talents to unlock extraordinary potential. Kathy has this advice for leaders as well. She says it's important to have a healthy, positive mindset because negative energy perpetrates itself, and it really does. And when we put out negative energy, we manifest more of the same. And, it perpetuates itself for sure. How many times have we had that happen in our lives, right? This is not what you want others to see in you as a leader. Her career coaching is something she says she does differently than other career coaches because it's a three-part system where she identifies and coaches one's innate talent. And she also blends that with strong areas of interest through the strong interest inventory assessment. And she adds emotional fitness so you will find a career that you love. With her warm, practical, skillful approach, Kathy is a pro at what she does in bringing you to those aha moments of self-discovery. Coming to us again live and direct from our neighbors to the north in Canada, very honored to have Kathy Coleman here live on Close Up Radio. Kathy, welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, my goodness. The pleasure is mine, Jim. I'm very excited to be here today.
Did you get some sleep last night, I hope?
Oh, I did. I absolutely did, yes.
Good. Terrific. Well, I hope you have a nice cup of coffee or tea by your side, and we're going to have a tremendous conversation. You know, I love people that inspire others and help others take time to stop and sort of reconnect with themselves and, you know, reignite the flame of life, because sometimes we self-sabotage and we don't allow the light to shine anymore. Tell us about, for you, especially in working with leadership, what was your and is your continuing life's journey that pointed you in the direction of doing this work? Some of the things that you were inspired by that got you to pause and realize, you know what, this isn't work, that, you know, I'm doing the corporate thing, but there's something else yearning and burning inside me that I need to express in a more direct way, a more empathetic way, thus the coaching. Tell us about that experience and that transition from the corporate world to the world of coaching.
Sure. Well, Jim, I think the big thing was that I did have a really positive experience in my corporate life. I had great mentors. I had great jobs I was given a lot of opportunity to grow and learn, to use my talent and perfect my craft. Most all the jobs that I had, other than one sales manager job, was in training and development. And so I just had the opportunity to learn and grow so much. As the time went on, things kind of expanded. I was an international master facilitator where I traveled and taught in four continents, which was, you know, so exciting. But I think that the reason why I moved into being more independent, well, there's a couple of reasons, really. I'm not a great rule follower. I know that rules are necessary, but I believe that rules can sometimes squash progress. And so for me, I wanted to be able to reach more people in more ways than being restricted to just one company or one ideology or, you know, one environment. So when I became a consultant first for a company called Achievers Worldwide, and I did do traveling internationally with them, and that was really a huge eye-opener to what was possible as an independent person. And then it just grew from there. And I will tell you, when I built my business that I have today, I did build it around those innate talents and strengths that StrengthsFinder talks about. And as a result, I don't really feel like I've worked a day since then. It's been a wonderful experience. So that was sort of the transition, was trying to remove the restrictions imposed by, you know, companies who have, and they need the rules, who have rules to follow. So this way, I don't really have any rules anymore. It's wonderful.
Isn't that fantastic? I think that's really amazing. And sometimes when you have that room to breathe, then you can really express the essence of who you are. It's very liberating. Could be scary, I'm sure, leaving the corporate world and some of the future comforts of it and the routine of it and probably the money, perhaps. But when there's something burning and yearning inside, you do want to pay heed to it, and then it allows you to express yourself in such a phenomenal way like you are doing now. Tell us about your work as a career coach and what that's all about.
Yeah, so I think you did a great job in the beginning telling a little bit about what I do and how I do it. That was awesome. It really is a three-part process. The talent through StrengthsFinder is critical. You know, talent can describe so much about what we do and how we do it, and yet, you know, people don't really understand what's possible underneath that, how to apply it, how to use it. So first I look at talent, then I do look at interest. What is the interest profile of that person, and does it match the environment that they're in? Because that's critical. And then we sprinkle all of that with the emotional fitness, because change of any kind, whether it's your choice that you want to change the job or if you've been laid off or terminated, there's a lot of fear about, you know, money and where am I going to find another job, and there's a lot of insecurity. And depending on the workplace that you were, if you weren't supported, it can bring, you know, a lack of confidence and some anxiety. And there can be so much there. It's so much more than just a career. You know, people say, you know, I have this work-life balance. I don't even think that's possible, because work bleeds into home and home bleeds into work. And it can be this beautiful blending of stuff, or it can be this great big messy thing, you know. So I think the emotional fitness of it all allows a person being coached to find a way through it with resilience and positivity and uncovering things they didn't really know about themselves to apply that to their work search. So at the end of the day, if you're in the wrong place, there are a lot of negative repercussions on that. It actually can lead to burnout, so if you're not able to use your talent. My goal is always about working with the whole person and finding what is not only best for them in a workplace, but creates overall joy and satisfaction.
You know, that's fantastic. I like the way you put that. There's some clarity in that, which I think is something that everybody is seeking. You know, from your experience, how is a career coach perhaps different, and there might be a few things that are similar, but the differences from a career coach and an executive coach, and then what are some of those similarities as well?
Sure. So I think career coaching is often about somebody finding themselves, trying to figure out where they fit in the world. You know, I don't think that, but one of the things I would tell my kids when they were coming through high school is don't feel like you have to go to university right away. How does somebody 18 know what it is they want to do for the rest of their lives? So lots of kids do, and they know, and that's wonderful. But I think that career coaching is about helping people to understand themselves, their talents, where their role would allow them to use those talents. Listen, talent has no ceiling. When you know what your talent is and you add to that knowledge and practice and experience, you just keep getting better and better. So if you can find what that talent is and how to apply it, your excitement for your career is going to be much bigger. So career coaching, I think, is more about trying to find that right role and trying to find where you belong in the world. And then executive coaching, I think, traditionally involves someone who is already in a role and looking to elevate themselves in some way. Leadership is also usually a big part. Leadership coaching is a big part of executive coaching. It's a really big topic because leaders need all the help they can get. It's tough out there today, right? So what I do is that we assess the personal and the professional goals of that person and understand really what is it they want to achieve. Then we do look at their talent and their natural abilities. You know, so many people in a role already do a fantastic job and they're so good at it that they get promoted. But just because they're good at this job does not mean they're going to be good at the next job. So that's where understanding your talent can help you determine, is this a good move for me? I have seen people be elevated and then be miserable and sometimes even be terminated because they're not doing the job the company expected them to do. So executive coaching is more about where do I want to go? How do I want to get there? Do I have the talent to achieve it and be successful and inspiring and engaging to the people that I'm surrounded by? If not, then there might be some objective adjustments that need to be made. So in that, we also then look at interaction management in their relationships, personal and professional, because this portion is critical. How do I involve others to come with me? You know, executive coaching is often about elevating oneself in a specific company or career. Well, we don't do that by ourselves. We need people to help us, and we need to bring those people with us. So those relationships, that management of relationships and interactions is a critical piece to anybody who is looking at receiving executive coaching. And then I think the similarities that you asked about, Jim, in both cases, the goal is sort of similar. It's to ensure that each person is working in a place that supports who they allows them to use their talents and recognizes their value so they can excel. Often someone who has come for career coaching at a period of time later, months or years later, comes back for executive coaching because now it's that next step. It's that lift up. So I always say that life's a split between work and home. It can be messy. It can be beautiful. It's why we have to look at the whole person.
The whole person, exactly, right. And I think that's an important part of the whole process. And it ties into being emotionally fit as well. From your perspective, what does it mean to be emotionally fit?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, it's not an easy task. To be emotionally fit is quite a journey. You know, I think it helps to understand what makes somebody that way. Somebody who's a really good listener, somebody who doesn't make assumptions. You know, when we do make assumptions, they're not usually very, very good ones. And it's human nature to make assumptions. So we actually have to fight against that to not do it. So I always say that assumptions are the termites to relationships because I think that they can do us real harm with the people that we interact with. I think somebody who's emotionally fit doesn't get pulled into the weeds of negativity, gossip, worry, trying to control things, you know, that aren't within their control. They are somebody who is resilient. They can bounce back from tough times. They can weather life's storms with stability. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things, and this is critical for leadership, is that I believe when you are emotionally fit, that you are behaviorally predictable. And I say those words, they are very passionate to me, because if you are interacting with somebody who's emotionally fit and they are behaviorally predictable, then you never have to worry what you're walking into when you go to work, when you come home, whatever the situation is. You know exactly what to expect. And being able to manage someone's expectations in that way, for the freedom to talk, the freedom to ask, the freedom to be, it is a beautiful thing. So you can imagine the work it takes to become a truly emotionally fit person. I think it is a lifetime of work, and I think as we practice it, we get better and better every single day.
Which is very important, and it's making progress in that direction that is part of that journey, which can be really extraordinary. Excellent leadership, critical at all stages, right? Tell us about why that is.
Well, I think that today we have employees leaving companies at a rate that is so high, and it's difficult to find replacements for them. I think companies are suffering. We've seen companies close down certain days of the week because they don't have anybody to work. What research has shown us is that in a lot of cases, the employee quits the leader, not the company. And so this is really tough to hear, because we are all just doing the best with what we have. And it's the last thing we ever want to have happen where, you know, we don't see eye to eye with somebody, or our practices don't mix with another person, our talents are off, you know, our differences are extreme. I think that if we understand just how critical leadership is, we can make changes. You know, a Gallup poll a few years ago told us that 85% of the world's population do not even like their job. You're actually doing better in the United States. It came in at around 70%. But still, that's a big number. Yeah, I know, right? It's a big number. And, you know, 23% of that 85, they actually say they hate it. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to work there. I hate it. And that's not a word I like. That's a strong, strong word. So part of the reasons why it's so critical to have excellent leadership skills is because what the employee tells us is they want to be communicated with. They want to feel valued. They want to receive praise for the work they do, and they want to be encouraged to do their best every day. So understanding what people need and then knowing how to give it to them is one of the biggest challenges leaders can face. Leaders need support, and they don't always get it. And sometimes you have a new leader who was good at a job, and then they were elevated into a leadership role. You know, their skill set isn't there. Their experience as a leader isn't there. So they potentially could struggle from the get-go, which means the employee will struggle. So those excellent leadership skills are critical. I think when we support the leader, we support the entire team and the business and the customers and everybody, and help them all move towards success. So I do think leadership is one of the most critical choices a business can make, who they bring in, how they support them, and how that leader supports their business.
What is Japanese psychology? And you incorporate that into your coaching, don't you?
I do. You know, so Japanese psychology is a psychology based on Eastern philosophies. It is a very natural approach to mental wellness, which I call emotional fitness, because you're given the tools to move through life really, really spectacularly. It's amazing what you don't realize you're capable of until somebody shows you how. So what sets it apart, really, from our traditional ideologies of psychology is the theme of action, which comes from Morita. Morita is a form of Japanese psychology. So this is a shift, actually, where we move from our feelings-driven thoughts to purpose-driven action. but it has to be the appropriate action. It's critical. It's not just any action. So the example I always use is, oh, I had a big day. I don't feel like going to the gym today. Well, that's very feelings driven. I probably want to stay home and open a tub of ice cream and get a big spoon and spend the evening there. But is that really where we should be? Is that a purpose-driven choice? My purpose, if it's to keep a healthy body, then my purpose should be to go to the gym. So if I'm thinking purpose versus feelings and I take the appropriate action, my appropriate action would be to go to the gym. So it's one of those really beautiful things that we control so much more than we think, but we have to be aware. Marita also encompasses something called attention. So what we know is that where you put your attention will determine your experience of life. That's that if you focus on the negative, you get the negative back. If you focus on the positive or choose positive things, then you get that back. And the other piece is acceptance. And some people say, oh, that sounds passive. Well, it's actually the opposite, because acceptance is about putting your energy into things that you have some impact over, as opposed to fighting things that you have no impact over. So an example would be someone else's behavior, their attitudes, the way they speak to you or to anybody. It's not something you control, but we try to make them change. Pardon me. So if we understand what we don't have control over and we put our focus in those areas that we do and just accept those things we don't control, then we move very differently in the world. So then one last portion of it is called NICON, and it's a method of self-reflection. So it's a three-part questioning process, and by going through it, you are actually able to see a situation as it truly exists, rather than from just your own perspective. You know how we always say there's three sides to every story, mine, yours, and somewhere in the middle is the truth. So
right. This
practice, you know, right? So this practice teaches us our part in things. It teaches us to appreciate, to be aware and grateful from all we receive from others, from the universe, the world. So to me, if I describe it in one sentence, Japanese psychology, I would say it's the blending of the psychological, the spiritual, whatever that might mean to you, and the practical, which creates this beautiful environment for mental wellness, internal motivation, and purpose-driven living. How does that sound to you, Jim?
That sounds terrific. I think it's, having a purpose and living it is the ultimate. And if we can get to that point, and I know you help your clients get in that direction, it's very, very important. In addition to talking about being emotionally fit, and of course, excellent leadership is critical, what is the strengths finder assessment? How does that work?
Yeah, so that's one of the tools I use. That's the program that identifies talent. So Dr. Donald Clifton, about 60 years ago, he's a psychologist, and he asked, you know, because in psychology we often study the brain and all the areas where it doesn't function well. So he asked this one question: what would happen if we studied what made people great? And that one question led to the study of talent, and today results in 34 themes that we all possess to some degree. But this online assessment that you can do identifies your top five. So the really cool thing about these top five talents is just those five out of 34 can explain about 70% of everything you say, think, feel, and do. When I see your assessment and we chat, I can share information about you that you might think I've been following you around for a little while, because it's so clear. These five are almost as unique as your fingerprint. Only one in 33 million will ever have the same five in the same order. So the feedback is unique. The action items are unique. Everything is really, really, really unique. The one thing I love about what Dr. Clifton did was he said that he believed that every single person does one thing better than 10,000 other people. So as a coach, I make that my mission. How do I find your one thing that makes you so much better at what you do than what others might be? So to date, more than 31 million people have done the assessment in more than 50 countries. And I believe that what it does with coaching is that it helps you to see things that are possible that you might not never have known before.
That's amazing. Those are amazing statistics as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think people will be very surprised by that. That's extraordinary. You know, you also mm-hmm. do the strong interest inventory. What is that?
So that is a program developed by John Holland, and really it's a piece of assessment that will describe a person's interest in a broad range of occupation, work styles, leisure activities, work environments. It's a very comprehensive tool. It's been around for more than 80 years. So I love both of these assessments because they come with such great backing and research and all of that kind of thing. So really the essence of it is John Holland believed that there was 6 styles of personality and that there are 6 work environments. And our job as coaches is to make sure that those match up so that you love what you do.
Which, again, full circle conversation leading to that in so many different ways. What are some other tools you use in your coaching?
Well, you know, so much of what we talked about is just scratching the surface. Like
right. That
there's so much more depth. There's so much
yeah.
more vastness to the things that we have discussed that I never run out of, you know, tools and practices and coaching ideas. I do use positive psychology tools, mindfulness tools, the 4 agreements, which is part of what the assumptions and taking things personally comes from. That's an awesome tool to use. Really anything. I'm very resourceful, Jim. I will go find anything that my clients may need in order to benefit from the experience of spending time with me.
Which is terrific and great for people to realize. And I encourage folks to take advantage of the opportunities to work with you. They can go to the website, kathycoleman.ca. That's spelled kathycoleman.ca. And with her warm and practical and skillful approach, Kathy's a pro at what she does in bringing you to those aha moments of self-discovery. And it's game-changing and oftentimes life-changing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How can I be well and happy? That's the question I like to answer for people.
I love that. And again, you know, even the events of the last couple of years, the pandemic and everything, there's a lot of people who have been stopping, pausing, and reassessing and wanting to do things and venture into things in their life that really allow them to express a deeper essence of who they are, right? You've probably seen that with a lot of your clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a tough few years. And you know, the ride is not over yet, right? We're dealing with a lot in today's world. So, you know, being able to go to a work in a place that you like, to have your emotional fitness, to be strong and independent and resilient, those are skills that are going to do you really well over the next little while.
Exactly. A pleasure chatting with you, Kathy. Again, I encourage folks to make contact with her. She's extraordinary. She's a revered career. Lots more. Kathy.ca is the website. Kathy, I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you. It was a real pleasure chatting with you on Close Up Radio today, and I hope we get a chance to welcome you back and expand some more, maybe hear some testimonials, things of that nature. But it was a pleasure.
Absolutely. For me too, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on today.
You're very, very welcome. You keep doing what you're doing, and I'm sure we'll chat again soon. And thanks for, again, stopping by and expressing all the wonderful things you do to help people find their bliss and their joy in their lives. KathyColeman.ca is the website. Jim Masters here thanking you for your time. This time, till next time, inviting you to stay right there. I'll be back with another great guest from around the world coming up in just a minute on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.